Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. There we go. You're sleeping already? I didn't even start yet. I'm Pastor Jeremiah, Pastor Jay. So honored to be with you here today. Have you ever felt, this is a big word, alienated, left out, maybe rejected, lonely? The reason, the way I kind of see it, the root of alienation is alien. Have you ever felt that people treat you more like an alien, a weirdo, a freak, more than a human? Well, this is the Oxford definition of alienation. If you could put that slide up there, MJ. It's a state of being isolated from a group or an activity to which you should belong or in which you should be involved. You feel like, I should be there. I'm supposed to be there, but I'm not. I'm not allowed to. Well, growing up, I grew up in a small acreage about a couple hours east of here. I and my family, we did feel quite alienated. This is a picture of me in kindergarten. If you could put that up, MJ. Yeah, oh my goodness. So this is me in kindergarten, and I was alienated for a few reasons. One, I had glasses. Those are in style now, aren't they? Anybody had glasses when they were in kindergarten or younger? Okay, Kristen? Maybe? Okay. It was rough. You know that proverbial put down, oh look, it's four eyes. And I was like, oh, it was not comfortable. And we had a debate earlier, who has the worst eyes? Anybody a negative five or higher? Okay, negative eight or higher? I know someone's negative nine or higher here. They don't have to share, but anybody higher than negative nine? Oh, wow. Okay, I'm negative five, but somebody here, I'm not going to tell you who, is negative nine, I found out. Wow, that's blind. And I remember praying when I was in the doctor's office, Lord, please give me good eyesight, please. But now I have glasses, so anyway. Another reason I was feeling alienated was actually the color of my skin. My kids at school would say, why is your face always dirty? And I remember going at home every night and rubbing my face. And they would keep saying, why is your face still dirty? I would go to the bathroom to wipe it down. I didn't realize they were talking about the color of my skin. And they thought we were funny. I had a little bit of an accent. And unfortunately, when I was this age, my mom said we knew, my brother and I, about five languages between our two parents. And then when we went to school, the teacher or the principal told my mom to stop teaching us so that we would fit in better. So I lost my languages. I'm learning it now, Tagalog, Filipino. It's hard. We're getting there. But we felt just different. Another reason was we grew up in poverty. We didn't have really running water. We didn't really want anybody come over because of it. And I remember on the bus, our bus ride was an hour and a half one way to school every morning and coming back home. And people would look at our farm and be like, oh, there's the dirty farm. Ooh, it didn't feel very good. In Canada, we should belong. Everybody should belong, right? Everybody should be involved. But unfortunately, we were alienated. And here's another picture. Put that MJ. I didn't get invited to many birthday parties, but I did have one friend. He was in the black shirt there. He passed away a couple years ago in an accident. But he was the only person that ever came to our house. And I felt so embarrassed to say, this is how we wash your hands. We put it in a jug and we boil it and you got to wash like this. But he came still. And this is at a birthday party, and that's me in the corner there. Kind of feeling left out, alienated. Have you felt like that? And when you do feel like that, you have this hunger, this great desire that you want to be accepted. Have you felt that too? Like, I just want to be a part of something. And because of that, you try really, really hard to be accepted. And when I was a kid, I would do things, which I'm not proud of now, to feel accepted by the other kids. One, I would always lie. I would lie to my friends about, you know, how we lived or the way we did things. And two, okay, this is a secret, okay? Don't tell anybody. There's no live stream right now, is there? It is? Okay, well, thank you for doing that. It was good, but I'm gonna mute myself. You're gonna promise not tell anybody, okay? Promise? Sorry, live stream. You can, don't, just imagine. That's why my immunity is really strong, I guess. Sorry. At one time, I even swallowed a whole, I was like five. I drank a whole 2-liter pop of Coke by myself, and I puked it everywhere. Anyway, but I would do all these sad things because I just wanted to be involved. I wanted to belong. There was this weight of feeling left out. And we're doing a series right now called How to Lose Weight. And in this season, this new year, we're not talking about physical weight per se, but we're talking about kind of this spiritual, emotional weight that many of us carry. Pastor Victor wanted me to mention that in this new year, we've been deciding as a church, or discerning and praying, what should we focus on, Lord? And the Lord said, go back to the basic, the first and greatest commandments. Do you guys remember what those commandments are? First one is? Love God. Yeah. With all your heart, with all your soul, with your mind, with all your strength. And second is? Love your neighbor as yourself. And this series is focused on how do we love God? How do we experience and embrace the love of God? Well, he takes off the weight of guilt, the weight of shame, the weight of alienation, so that we can experience his great love. And after we experience his great love, we're going to go to the next series, going to how then do we show that love to others and to bless them. And today we're going to see how we experience God's love through losing this weight of alienation. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me. We're going to go to Romans, one of my favorite books in the Bible, Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 6. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 6, we'll go down to verse 12, and then we'll skip over to 17 and 19. Hear the word of the Lord. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Truly, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. And can we say verse 8 together? But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned, going down to verse 17. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through the one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in the life of the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, Just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, I have felt this weight of being rejected, left out, and I'm sure many people feel it too. Thank you, Jesus. You know exactly what that feeling is. And Lord, thank you that you have dealt with the worst kind of alienation, alienated from you. You bore that weight in our place, and now we can be in a loving relationship with God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this good news, and help us understand what your word is saying us today regarding this. And may you use these small words of mine for your great glory today. We pray this in your wonderful name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Now, if you'd like, there is sermon notes available. You can use a QR code in front of your seat there or go on the website. But this is kind of the theme and goal. The main idea is Jesus was alienated from God so that we can be accepted by God. Christ Jesus, in his love, bore the weight of alienation so that we now can belong into God's acceptance, his presence. We should belong. We should be involved with God, our creator, because that is how God created us to be. We are supposed to be in a loving, intimate, beautiful relationship in which we are able to call God, the creator, the most intimate term, Abba or Daddy. That is what we were made to be. But as you might know in the Bible, something happened which broke that relationship, that put a block between us and God. And if you know the book of Romans, it can be very technical. It can be very, well, there's a lot of things going on there. But this chapter in particular reminds us that the whole purpose of Paul's kind of explanation of what God has done is to remind us of God's love. That's the main reason he did all of this, is because he loves us. And in this chapter, kind of the first time this kind of happens, right before we read in verse 5, and hope does not disappoint us because God poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. And this section of Romans kind of ends in Romans chapter 8. And it says here at the end of Romans chapter, or kind of the middle end of Romans chapter 8, verse 15, it says here, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." So if you get kind of confused with kind of the wording and what Paul's saying, just remember God loves you, okay? Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's the, if you don't remember anything else in the sermon, that's it, okay? Now we have that, although that's the main focus. I'm just going to go through 2 points. First is the weight of alienation makes us try hard to find acceptance. The first humans belonged in this beautiful relationship with their creator. They even went on evening walks with each other. And then the first humans rebelled against God. What the Bible says, they sinned against God, and then everything changed. You can write this in your notes. Sin reigns over the earth like the weight of a tyrant's dictatorship, and sin reigns in our hearts. Typically, we think of sin as something that we do that goes against God and his two greatest commands, love God and love our neighbor. And that's very, very true. But also, when we participate in sin, it kind of gets bigger and stronger. And eventually, since a lot of humans sinned over time, this sin has become this kind of powerful heaviness over the whole world. And that's why in verse 17, Paul uses the term that sin reigns, has power over, has authority over the whole world. And that means no matter how hard the world tries, it could never be a place where we love God and love each other. We are kind of trapped in this domain, this power of sin. But also, this sin is not only external, it's also inside of us. It's also infected our hearts. And in verse 10, God calls our relationship with Him a very strong term. We are enemies, an enemy of God. And this word enemy means this: one who has long been alienated and refuses to be reconciled. Once we enter this new domain apart from God, our hearts are so corrupted that we liked it. We like to be under the reign of sin. We want to stay separated. We want to stay alienated from God. And the weight of this alienation makes us try so hard to find another acceptance apart from God. For me, I was feeling so alienated from the kids at school. I would do anything almost to feel accepted by them. And as I got older, that acceptance, that longing for acceptance got worse. I ended up started drinking too much, doing the little drugs, doing partying like too much in order to feel loved, feel accepted. But the thing is, because we are made by God, only God can give us what we truly need. Only God can fill that void of acceptance. And no matter how hard we try to find acceptance in other things, in people, family, and friends, being famous, having a big house, a successful career, a legacy, no matter how hard we try to find acceptance in these things, only God can give us the acceptance we really need. Thank you, Alice. Amen. Now, let me give you an analogy here. This might hopefully will work. But imagine that your life is this balloon. It's yellow. I like yellow. I was going to put Pastor Victor's face on it, but I didn't have time. So. And this balloon here wants to be connected to God. Let's say I represent God. However, there's this weight. The weight of alienation because of sin has kind of squished us down. And we can't relate to God. And as a result then, as you see the balloon is squishing, it's stretching out to find other things to find acceptance. Oh, I feel so much that weight. I need a good job. I need a wife or husband to feel accepted. Then I will, this weight will be gone. And the greater this weight of alienation, the more we will try to stretch out to find something that gives us a sense of acceptance. Does that make sense? But no matter how hard we try, we can't. This block will never, ever heal that feeling of acceptance. Now, in verse 8, Paul uses the term sinner. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And in Romans, in the time of Paul, sinners are only used to describe Gentiles, non-Jewish people. Because the Jewish people, the religious people believe that, oh yeah, we're Jews. We have full acceptance by God. There's no way we can just fully hang out with God. But Paul's saying, no! Even your good religious works, No matter how hard you try to stretch and follow the law, no matter how hard you try to stretch and do what's good, even that cannot get rid of this weight of alienation. And actually, the more you try to find God through the law, through being a good person, it just makes things worse. You feel more ashamed, more embarrassed, and this weight can never be taken away by ourselves. This weight which makes us try harder to find acceptance, whether in the world or with our own righteous acts. I'm going to put this here. Okay. It's okay. Let's just do this. Okay, so that's the first point. Second point is the good news. Christ, removing the weight of alienation, enables us to trust in God's acceptance freely given. Even though we were enemies of God, even though we were sinners, Jesus was alienated from God so that we can be accepted by God. And he did this because he loved us. Now, the second part of this in Romans 5 may be a little bit confusing, but it's contrasting two people. First is Adam, who sinned against God and caused all this chaos and all this weight of sin and alienation on us. And the second person that is contrasting is with Jesus. And this is kind of what he is kind of summarizing it to be. Everything that happened through Adam has been reversed in Christ 100, I don't even know what, I made that number up, 100 billion times over. What is it? 100 million. Okay, close enough. Whatever that, let's put a million zeros behind it, okay? Whatever happened in Adam, he causes sin to become, the word here is Christ superabounded it. That whatever happened with Adam, causing this curse of sin, this weight upon us, when Christ came, he reversed it, and pooh, it's not even consequential what Adam did. When Adam and Eve kind of sinned against God, they allowed the reign of sin and death to come, and we were separate from God, and all creation was cursed. And then, if you know the book of John, at the end of the book of John, Jesus rose from the dead, and the first person he sees, do you remember? Okay, it's Mary. Okay, it's Mary. And do you know what Mary mistakes him for? A gardener. Oh, interesting. We have a man and a woman in a garden. Does that remind you of anything else? Adam and Eve were also in a garden. And what John is saying is, he's kind of reenacting what happened with Adam and Eve in their garden. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he came to Mary, the representative of all the women in the world, and him, representative of the man. And they kind of reenacted what happened in the first garden, saying, everything that happened with Adam and Eve is now reversed. It's now broken. It's now made free through this garden right now with my resurrection. That weight of death, that heavy stone has been rolled away, so the weight is no longer on us. Because Jesus lived, died, and rose again, we, humanity, are now can be reconciled to God. And this weight of sin, this weight of alienation can be thrown off. And reconciliation means this. It means to repair a relationship, and it can mean to make an exchange. Christ was able to take off this weight of reconciliation. Stay here. And he couldn't just throw it away. He had to carry it. Okay, that looks dumb. I'm looking for a hat, but he had to carry it on himself. Christ took this weight on himself, and even though humanity continued to hate him, they spit on him and didn't even want to be reconciled, even though the religious, supposed to be quote-unquote good people, were the ones who conspired against him, Jesus still took this weight to the cross. Jesus was alienated from God so that we could be accepted by God. And God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, while we were still enemies, Christ took this weight to the cross. And in verse 8, this is what Jesus became for us. It's kind of two parts. It's a little bit of a debate in the Greek, so I'm not going to get into that, but you can ask me later if you're interested. But basically, in verse 8, it says that Jesus can be both our representation on our behalf and our substitution that is in our place. Now, they're very similar, but there's a little bit of a distinction. Let me do a little bit of theology now. Jesus took this weight on our behalf, on the behalf of all humanity. And the reason that he was able to take the weight of all humanity was because he is God. And only God could bear the weight of all humanity's alienation. I couldn't do that. You couldn't do that. Only God could take the weight of all humanity on himself. But also, he took this weight as our substitute. And Jesus could only be a proper substitute if he was human himself. Jesus was God, yes, he was able to take the weight, but he could only be a real good substitute. He could only really represent us if he was human. And God becoming human meant that he fully accepted humanity. Instead of destroying us, it was like, oh, these humans, they really suck, let's just start over. He loved us so much that he even became one of us. He took on flesh. And what other way can someone say, I accept you, than by taking on your own identity, your own customs, your own culture? And he accepted us so much that he took on human flesh and said, I accept you and I will save you. And because Jesus was fully human, he fully felt those heavy feelings of alienation as any human would. And we see this on the cross, Jesus bearing the weight of all our sin, our shame, our alienation. He cries out in Matthew chapter 27, verse 45, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was feeling so forsaken, so alienated by God, and because Jesus took our alienation as our substitute in the place of humanity, God rejected him. Now, I can't even imagine this. Jesus was God from the beginning, or beyond the beginning. He was God and always was God. That means he was with the Father and the Holy Spirit for all eternity. And then on the cross, the Father turned his back on his Son, forsake his Son. I can't imagine a father turning his back on their only son. I can't imagine that feeling, what that must have felt. And Jesus was feeling those feelings, these just depths of forsakenness. But at the same time, Jesus wasn't just saying random words. He was quoting from Psalms 22, which is a song of deliverance. And as a good rabbi, sometimes they would say one part of the psalm, which would make the rest of the hearers say, oh yeah, I know that psalm, and think about the rest of it. For instance, the Lord is my shepherd. What happens? I shall not want. And you can remember that. And after Jesus said, oh my God, why have you forsaken me? Everybody be like, oh, Psalm 22. And let me just read what it says here. Jesus is kind of evoking everybody to remember this psalm. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, and am not silent. Yet you are throned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried out to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. Even though Jesus felt so forsaken by God, he knew that even though he didn't feel God at that moment, God in the end would never forsake him. God is a God of deliverance. He would never let them be put to shame. And at the very moment that Jesus proclaimed his pain, he also exclaimed his faith. And because Jesus was one with God, he rose from the dead. And because Jesus was our representative of our humanity, he dealt with this weight of alienation. I wish I could break this right now, but I don't know whose it is. So just pretend, it's broken. And now through Jesus, instead of us trying to reach or even trying to reach God this way, Jesus just says, oh, I love you so much. And this weight of acceptance is a good weight. It's a warm weight. Jesus, because of what he done on the cross, we now, those who call upon his name, have acceptance in God. We don't have to try harder. We don't have to do anything. All we could do is accept it, is trust in the acceptance Christ has given to us freely already. Jesus was alienated from God so that we could be accepted by God. And let me just read this summary in Colossians 1, one of my favorite verses. Paul writes this again and says it like this. Colossians 1, starting in verse 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death, to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. If you continue your faith established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a servant. All we can do is accept. Just hug back Jesus, who's hugging you. He has accepted you, and hold on to him. Hold on to your faith in him. Jesus was alienated from God so that we could be accepted by God. Let me end with just two applications and a story, okay? First one is allow yourself to feel your alienation. Jesus, he didn't try to push his feelings down. He cried out to God, this is what I'm feeling. And he prayed the Psalms. And the Psalms of Lament are very powerful as they're very real. They allow us to feel, but they turn our feelings and our focus from our circumstances to the God who promises to deliver us. And feeling alienated is a normal human emotion. You might be feeling alienated from the church, alienated from family, from friends. Give those to God and remember that our true acceptance only comes from God himself. And he has already accepted you. Which brings us to the second point, trust in God's acceptance. Watchman Nee says the difference between trying and trusting is the difference between life and death. And that's a hard journey. How do I trust you, Lord, without trying. I got her, so yeah, I want to read my Bible, I want to pray, I want to do those good things, but I don't want to rely on them. I don't want to think, if I do all these good things, Lord, then you'll accept me, thank you. No, you're already accepted, and as God's hugging you, hug him back. Read your Bible, pray, just get to know him more out of that love. And once you are able to accept God's acceptance, it's much, much easier for you to accept others. Because if you're so focused on trying to gain acceptance through your performance, to how good you're doing, it's so easy to look down on others who aren't doing as good or aren't, quote unquote, as holy as you are. But once you recognize that acceptance is a gift from God, you just want to hug others, no matter who they are. Because you feel the warmth from God's hug. And the people of God who have trusted in Jesus' acceptance, the church, we should be the place where God, where people feel God's acceptance the most. At Mosaic House Church, we have a value of community where we belong with Jesus. We do this in this big house, the church here, do it in house churches. That is where we live out that the feeling of belonging in Jesus and extend that feeling to others. And growing up, even though I felt alienated, I found great acceptance in God's church. I grew up in a country church, about 30 people in the town, and there was 30 people in the church, okay? And what's crazy was, it was a small town. Our first pastor was a woman, which was rare in those times. And the second pastor, this can sell out, but the second pastor was from the Congo. Emmanuel, he's a pastor in Lac-la-Biche right now. And I remember, you know, every small town Alberta has a Chinese restaurant. And the owner of the restaurant will give me piggybacks in the basement of the church. There was even though in our area, there's no First Nations communities. I don't know why, there's probably a history of just being wiped out. There was a First Nations family there. It was a diverse picture where I felt like we were all kind of weird, okay? Maybe all church people are weird. But I belong there. And it took me a long time, but I finally accepted Christ's acceptance of me rather than trying so hard. And now I'm so blessed to be part of his community where I feel like I belong. Because Christ brings us together to a place where we belong in him. Jesus was alienated from God so that we can be accepted by God. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you that you understand when we feel so rejected, so alone. Thank you, Lord, that you cry with us. But thank you, Jesus, that you have provided a way where we can find the most beautiful acceptance ever back to the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, help us to just trust in your acceptance, not to try to prove ourselves, but just rest in you, knowing that you are holding us and you want us to hold you and hug you back. And, Lord, as we feel this warmth of your acceptance, help us to share it with others, to bless others, that they may know that you are Lord Jesus, the Savior, and that you are calling them to be your child. We pray this in the sweet and precious name of Jesus. Amen.